This morning's message is titled, "To React is Human, to Respond is Divine." To react is human, to respond is divine. And I'd like you to turn with me to our text this morning, which is from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. Now, while you're turning there, here's what's going on. David is running from Saul, who is jealous of David. The people were yelling, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." And so Saul, instead of praising his general David, who was his best general, he became jealous and was trying to kill David. David ambushed Saul and had the opportunity to take Saul's life. But he spared Saul and he called out and said, "Saul, I could have taken your life, but I spared you in order to demonstrate to you that I'm loyal. So please stop chasing me. I'm just a flea. I'm just a worm. I'm nothing. Why are you after me?" And Saul said, "You're right, David. I give up. I'm sorry. I repent. I was wrong for chasing you. Come on back home and everything will be fine." And David said, "I don't believe that." And so he escaped to the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. And he became loyal to the king, Achish. And for a year and a half, he hung out with Achish and demonstrated his loyalty, supposedly, to Achish. One day, the Philistines were about to go up against Israel, and David was with them, of course, and he wanted to go along, too. And the commanders of the Philistine army said, "No, we don't want this David going with us to fight Israel. He's from Israel himself, and he's going to turn on us, and he's going to demonstrate to his king Saul that he really is loyal by attacking us, so make him stay." And so Achish, even though he had confidence in David, he said, "My commanders have expressed great reserve about you going with us, and so you can't go. I believe you, I trust you, I think you got my back, but my commanders, I have to listen to them, so you go home." He had given him a city called Ziklag. And so David returned with his men to Ziklag, the city of the Philistines that had been given to him. And this is where we find ourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." If you're taking notes this morning, the main idea that I want to convey from the text is, regardless of our reaction, regardless of our human reaction, every moment is a fresh opportunity to respond in faith. Regardless of our human reaction, every moment that we're alive, this moment right now that you're sitting in, regardless of what your reactions have been, every moment is a fresh opportunity to respond in faith. Now, I want to use the text to examine David's reaction, his response, and the result. If you're taking notes, this is point one, and I'm going to give you the verse reference along with it. The first point is this. In verse 4, there's the reaction. We see the reaction. It says, David, when he recognized that his wives had been taken, the men recognized their families had been captured, says he wept out loud until they had no strength left to weep. David had made what arguably was a strategic military mistake. And it resulted in his family and the families of his warriors being taken captive here. And his men were so bitter and distressed that they spoke about stoning David. So he had no allies. He was all alone. Needless to say, this was one of the lowest points in David's entire life. And what happened next? Of course, it says that they wept so loud and they wept so hard that there was no strength left in them. Now, I don't know about the rest of you brothers in here, but I can understand this weeping thing. Because if somebody swooped in here, a gang of terrorists swooped in here and captured my beloved Laverne and took her away, I would... Y'all know me. I would be weeping so loud, I would be inconsolable. So I understand where they're coming from here. It says they wept so much that there was no strength left to weep. That's a reaction. That's a human reaction. And I pray that God would never let me lose touch with my human reactions. I pray that God would never let us, quote unquote, ascend. And I'm saying quote unquote because it's really not an ascension. To a point where life doesn't touch us. Where we're not affected. Where we're so spiritual that we're immune to human hurt, to human disappointment, to human discouragement. May God deliver us from being heartless, emotionless, android-like. May we always be ones who, as Jesus was able to sympathize with our weaknesses, even though he was God in the flesh. Jesus being tempted in all things as we are, that the stuff that we struggle with, he struggled with. That he felt the full impact of living on this earth in a human body with an evil enemy called Satan and a world system that is under his control that continues to inflict us with values that are contrary to the kingdom of God, but that are appealing to our flesh. So we're stuck in this place where we're torn and the flesh is battling with the spirit. May God never allow us to be in a spot where we don't feel our human reactions, because when that happens, we lose touch with humanity. We become a three-headed monster instead of a human being that people can relate to. And sometimes we think that our spirituality is determined by showing people that we don't feel life, that we're not impacted, that we're above it, instead of, I'm in it with you. We're all in this thing together. So David wept out loud with his men until they had no strength left to happen. to weep. Stuff is going to happen in our lives. Stuff is going to happen that overtakes us, that surprises us, that inflicts us, wounds us. I think of Jesus in Gethsemane, and I'm thankful that the scripture records that he said, "My soul is troubled to the point of death. Stay here and pray with me." I'm glad that the scripture gives us insight into Jesus' reaction to the fact that soldiers were about to come and arrest him, and he was going to suffer beyond anything that any of us could begin to imagine. I'm glad he didn't stand up and say, "I'm cool, let's go." I'm glad he said, "My soul is troubled," that he had that reaction, because when life comes knocking on my door, then I don't feel unspiritual when I say, "Wow, I don't like this. I don't feel like there's something wrong with my faith. I don't feel like there's something wrong with my faith when I have a reaction to difficulty, to disappointment, to distress." The second thing we see now is David's response. This is verse 6. It says, David found strength in the Lord his God. I like what the New American Standard Version, how it renders this. It says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. No allies. Alone, men talking about stoning him. David's reaction was to weep. "This is terrible. What's going on? And I'm feeling the full impact of it." That was his reaction. But then he had a response. And the response was to strengthen himself in the Lord. His men saw David at his weakest point, weeping bitterly along with them. Their leader, broken and distressed. And then they saw his response. You see, for us, after the reaction, we can choose to respond. And no matter how long it takes you to get there, because for some things, the reaction is just a few minutes. We just need a few minutes of reaction. Some things. Other things, we need a couple days, maybe a month. Some things, years. Seriously. Some things, years, we're in reacting mode. But there is a response we can have. We're never at a deficit with God. We're never at a deficit with God. We never have any ground to make up. So if you've been reacting for a couple months now, you've been reacting to something for a year or 2 years or for as long as you can remember. You may be in a place where you're just reacting and you don't think you'll ever stop reacting. There's no ground to make up with God. There's no penance that we have to perform. You know, if you left Valley Brook today and decided you were just going to go away and be off somewhere for a year or 2 years or 3 years, I can tell you from experience, when you come back, it will be as though you never left. It will be as though you will look a little older, but how you will be treated will be as if you never left. Because I believe that's how God treats us. It doesn't matter how long you're over here reacting. When it's time to respond, when you're ready to respond, you don't need to feel ashamed of how long you were in reactionary mode. That's not baggage. The Lord's not holding that over your head. He's not saying, well, where you been? About time. Good to see you, stranger. Thank you, Jesus. This is our situation. In any moment, and in every moment, the Lord cares for our reaction. He's not just sitting off passively watching us, waiting until we get it together. Even in our reactionary places, in that place, the Lord is caring for us in that spot, and He is nurturing our response. He's nurturing us to a place where we have a different response, that we're not just reacting. So David found himself in this place, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. It says in verse 8 that David inquired of the Lord as a result of his response. His response was to inquire of the Lord. Our job as believers is not only to model godly behavior, but perhaps even more important is to model how to process an imperfect life. You see, sometimes we think that what God has placed us here to be are paragons of morality and such exemplary displays of righteousness. And yes, let your light so shine so that your let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There is that aspect of it too. But perhaps more important, we're here to model what happens when it goes wrong. What happens when it's not going the way that you want it to, when the train has gone off the track? How do you get back on track? How to face our faults without being oppressed by shame? How do you do that? To look them straight in the face. Own them without being oppressed by shame. How to find strength in the Lord when we're crushed in spirit, like David was here. What to do when we're discouraged. When we're discouraged, rather than acting like we never get discouraged. See, that's the kind of modeling that is equally as important as showing how strong we are. This was David's response. He inquired of the Lord. He chose to believe that the Lord would guide his next move. And so he inquired of the Lord and pursued the enemy. See, in an important sense, we have not failed until we fail to process failure properly. We have not failed until we fail to process failure, in quotes, properly. And the way that we process failure properly is to look at ourselves in accordance with the way God looks at us, to respond according to His promises, to look at life through His eyes, through His word, through His promises, to look at ourselves through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we respond to failure. How does God see it? See, David saw it one way, and his men saw it one way. Natural to see it in a human way since we're human. But the way we see it is not the way God sees it. And when we're in response mode, the Lord takes us into a place where we're able to look at it through His eyes, see it from His perspective. And that changes the way that we respond. So David chose to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord gave him an answer. Lord, shall I go after him? Should I go after them, Lord? And the Lord said, go after them. Pursue them. You're going to overtake them, and you're going to be victorious. So the Lord gave him an answer, but there was also a process. It wasn't an instant boom, and it's all over. There was a process involved, even after the Lord gave him an answer. And the process included this. A third of David's men became too tired to continue to pursue. So he went from 600 to 400. So it got worse. Lord, shall we go after him? Sure, go ahead. But I'm going to take a third of your men away. Then they found this Egyptian who'd been left to die. And they nurtured him back to health, and it turned out to be a servant of one of the soldiers who had made the raid on David's town. And they revived him, and he led them to this raiding party that had taken their wives and families captive. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? The Lord is so creative. You know, I mean, here's what I figured out about God. He can't be figured out. I have finally figured that out. After many years, I have figured out that he cannot be figured out. He can be known, but he can't be figured out. I like what my wife was saying. She was saying, I think she read in a book somewhere, a devotional or something, where it says, the Lord wants to be known even though he can't be fully known. Is that how it went? He wants us to know him, but don't ever think you got him figured out. He is so much bigger than our greatest thoughts, our wildest dreams and imaginations. So they find this scraggly Egyptian who's at death's doorstep, and that guy turns out to be the key to leading them to this raiding party that had taken their wives and families captive. So the third thing, that brings us to the result, verses 17 through 19. And what a result it was. It says in verse 17, and David slaughtered them from the twilight to the evening. And he eventually recovered everything that had been taken. So it says 400 of the soldiers escaped, if you read on. 400 of the soldiers escaped. On camels, it says, the ones they were pursuing. I mean, 400 of them escaped. Now think about that for a minute. Remember, David's force was reduced from 600 to 400. And they slaughtered from twilight till the evening of the next day, and 400 of the enemy escaped on camels. You know how many they were up against? I mean, if you're slaughtering all day long and 400 of them escape, and that 400 equals your total number of forces, that's some kind of something. That's some kind of something. And it says David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken, David brought everything back. Because in the Lord, failure is never final. As we know, what looks like a dead end or what looks like the end is really just an intermission. It's just a pause. It's just a break. A dead end is literally just a bend in the road. It's a secret passage to a completely unexpected continuation. And I won't say an end, because even when that continuation happens, the story didn't end here with David. There were more adventures ahead. And what the Lord was trying to communicate to David, as he's trying to communicate with us, is as long as I am with you, there are going to be adventures. There are going to be situations that are going to cause you to react. I will be with you in that reaction. And then I'm going to nurture your response so that the next situation you encounter, when you have that reaction, the reaction time is reduced. And you know why it's reduced? Because you've seen me in action. And you have responded to me and seen what I can do. This past week, the Lord reminded me, my work for the Lord, we want to do work for the Lord. My work for the Lord is to trust in the Lord. That's my work. That's your work. The work of God is to believe in the one whom he has sent. That was David's work. Believe. So I prayed, Lord, let me do my work well today. Let me do my work well today as you do your work. My work is to trust. Your work is to make the results. I'm going to always run to you, Lord. I'm always going to run to you, no matter what kind of reaction I'm having. I'm always going to run to you, Lord, no matter what my reaction may be, no matter how ugly my reaction may be, no matter how disappointing my reaction, how disgusted I am with my own reaction, I am always going to run to you because you want to care for me in my reactionary place, and you're the one who nurtures my response. I can't come up with the response on my own. I need you to work in my life and bring me to a place where, like David, I'm strengthened in the Lord. Amen. For us, it's about glorying in Christ Jesus and not putting any confidence in the flesh, as Paul said. We are the true circumcision. We glory in Christ Jesus. We put no confidence in the flesh, glorying in him for my status, glorying in him to sustain me, glorying in him for my transformation, glorying in him to rejoice. I just thank the Lord for being with me day in and day out. Because, see, the Lord is like that farmer's insurance commercial. It says, the Lord knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two. Lord, you've seen a thing or two. Amen. And so you know a thing or two. You knew what was going on with David and how to handle that whole situation. Lord, you know about my situation. You can handle it. Amen. Scripture identifies David as a prime example whose effect in life was a direct result of his confidence in his relationship with the Lord. 1 Chronicles 11:9 tells us, and David became more and more powerful because the Lord Almighty was with him. David became more and more powerful because the Lord Almighty was with him. So he's an example of what I mean, that we don't need to know it all. We just need to know the one who does know it all. We don't need to be it all. We just need to know the one who is it all, right? And here we have that example. David was discouraged and he strengthened himself in the Lord, and the Lord took care of everything else. Every moment is an opportunity for a course correction of our faith, no matter where we are seated at the present time. You know, the thief on the cross, he didn't start out saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what we remember him saying. But in Matthew 27 and verse 44, the scripture indicates that initially he was throwing out insults against Jesus just like the other thief. It says both of them were insulting Jesus. So something happened while he was on the cross. He had a reaction, but then he had a response. And his response was, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that response in that moment changed his eternity. And Jesus said, this day I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. You see, every moment we're alive is an opportunity for us to have a response of faith. To react is human. To respond is divine. And regardless of our reaction, every moment is a fresh opportunity to respond in faith. And I'm done. Should we just do the better?